T-minus 3, 2, 1, 0.
Hey, folks. Welcome to the Launch Sequence Podcast, the podcast where you usually find us talking about space or Star Citizen and other space games, generally news and development, and generally it sticks to Star Citizen. But, you know, we try to diversify. Thank you to our supporters for joining us live for this show. If you would like to join these live and you are a Twitch or YouTube member, you can always come and hit us up on Discord. And thank you to our guest today who's coming in to talk about whether or not 323 is as good as we thought it was before, or if we're going to have to wait longer for the best of the best. Welcome in, Salty Mike. How you doing?
I'm good. You picked the right salty person for this batch.
Hey man, I think people think you're saltier than you are. You got a lot of, I mean, every time
yeah,
you come on here,
they do.
Yeah, we talk about plenty of stuff on here, and generally you're positive on it. And I know there's some stuff today that's disappointing, but I think there's also plenty of positive to talk about. So I'm expecting some good stuff. A little bit of a caprese salad, maybe, without the cheese.
Yeah.
But some good stuff.
Balsamic.
Oh gosh, dude.
I love
sometimes
balsamic
like
vinegar. I could drink it.
I feel you, dude. I might be space tomato, but I am allergic to tomatoes. But I'll tell you what, a tomato with some olive
oil.
I feel you. Not this one though.
I think they're gross. No, you're a nice
like,
one. The only one I like. You're the only tomato I like.
I was gonna say I hate salt. No, dude, who hates salt, man? It's good stuff. Makes things taste good.
Oh yeah.
All right, so we're not actually talking about food all day today. We're going to talk about Star Citizen. We just both finished watching Star Citizen Live, where they talked about like cargo and persistent hangars. Just like in one sentence, what'd you think? Just to summarize before we get into the whole show.
Clarity.
Okay.
Oh, what one sentence? I mean, you meant one word for
you
some
You
can reason.
Do one word sentences.
True. They just clarified a lot of the situation. And yeah, I'm a little bit more comfortable feeling after the roadmap roundup, which I was relatively comfortable with the explanation that they gave there as well. But yeah, feels good.
Okay.
Feels better than I think maybe others are feeling or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm
time
you know,
will tell.
Yeah, that's the thing is, right? Like, if something big gets delayed, we expect it to be delivered good. So,
exactly.
Yeah, time will tell. But today's show is going to be largely about the 323 patch as a whole, and we will actually get in a little bit of 4.0 discussion. So sit tight, folks. Should be a good one. Mike, it's been a couple months, though. How have you been, dude? How's the game been treating you? How's life been treating you?
Life's okay. And the game's okay. I was obviously super looking forward to 323 because some of these changes, and obviously the big one didn't make it in. But like, kind of interesting with the way they've taken the approach to Evocati and stuff as being an Evocati member. Mm-hmm. That's been a really interesting thing for just like YouTube content and stuff. And I made a couple videos, and I stopped. I didn't enjoy it. It was. I felt like I had to test every build to its fullest extent to answer every single question, and it didn't like feel right to do it as well. So I don't know, it was a bit weird, but
yeah.
It's one of those where it was cool the first couple times, like, oh my god, I'm talking about this new exciting thing and everybody's excited and it felt really great. And then as the patches continued, I was like, well, not much happened this week, but I feel like I have to make a video. And I was like, I don't want to make videos about nothing.
Yeah, you know? I'm like trying to cover what's coming up, so I usually am not following or covering the current patch as much, like the PTU or Evocati patch. That's something I'm trying to do more.
Yeah.
But this time I'm covering PTU a little bit more, and I'm realizing like I have to consciously communicate differently because I'm not trying to give a review as if the feature is released alive and this is what we have to deal with. I'm trying to constantly caveat that it's changing almost every day.
Yeah, and like in my first one, I didn't caveat at all because I thought it was obvious that I was just telling you what I experienced. And then you get people like getting mad at the fact that like, oh, well, obviously it's not good. And I'm like, well, obviously it was obvious. So it was like one of those. Yeah. But oh, I know this is totally like off topic or whatever, but when you mentioned like I'm looking, I like to focus on the things going forward. The Asmongold React, how awesome
hey,
was that?
Yeah, that
I got,
was...
I never got a chance to ask you so or talk to you. Congratulations, that was super awesome. And just like, what did you feel when that happened?
It was pretty crazy. Like somebody mentioned it.
Did you notice a jump too, and like follows and
yeah,
things like that?
Yeah, actually, like there's a I hate to call it this, but there was an Asmongold effect. I guess it's still ongoing. Like
yeah,
what happened was. He reacted to it, and other people went and watched it, and that got YouTube to be like, hey, I'll recommend this. And so then it got just back mm-hmm. into the basically, it basically started performing like it came out a week prior again. But no, that was really cool. It was like, first somebody mentioned it. They said, oh yeah, Asmongold reacted to Space Made of Ether. And I was like, what does that mean? Me and Honey, we both were like, wait, what, where? And we went on his stream, and it was just this like 5-hour stream. So I was like, how am I going to find this? I was just scrolling through constantly, and we finally found it and watched it. And I was just like, oh, I didn't expect that line or that voice to be going to that many people. And it's really cool to not just for him to be reacting to my video, but like for people in the general population of gaming to be hearing about Star Citizen in some level of conversation that's not just about how much money it's earned or how many ships there are or something like that, like legitimate yeah, conversation about stuff. Star Citizen. Yeah, it's cool to see. So
yeah, it was awesome.
Yeah,
it was so cool to see, and it just tells me that the game is not only going more mainstream, but when somebody like him watches it maybe like legitimizes it a little bit more. And it does like I was in that video with Level Cap or whatever. And people would go, he reacted to you, Mike. And I'm like, no, he didn't. That's not how that works. It was like the most roundabout react. But I said, what I think is really cool about it is it was like the perfect video for that, because what it just means is it was a good video. It was informative. And it means that he's going to be more inclined to watch other creators' videos in the space and have a similar effect to them and all that to what happened with you guys and all that stuff, right? So it's just it's a good thing, very good thing, and it's super cool. And I'm so happy that you were the first, because that's the right video. That like there's a few creators in the space that it would be good, but you're definitely one of them for like somebody to find Star Citizen.
Well, thank
you. First time and kind of get an understanding of what it is. So I know I'm not the podcaster, I'm not the host here, but I had to congratulate you and stuff.
I appreciate it. I do think that the way that people talk about how his reactions go, it does need to be fast. So I think it helped that like the video kind of introduced the idea and then quickly showed it happening, because I didn't have any footage of it happening in the video. So that also probably helped. And your segment with Level Cap, and then also Ollie's part, were like just really good in your face proof of it too. So overall, you know,
had an understanding of it to give the context for his audience as well, and it was just perfect. And then his audience got excited about it and understand like kind of how big of a deal that tech actually is, right?
Yeah so, the videos on his video is the comments on his video is crazy, and I look forward to server meshing going live and then seeing how people react to the fact that it's not just happening in some closed test or in some YouTube video, but like you can jump in and experience it yourself. That'll be cool.
Yep. Yeah, for sure. More tests soon, apparently.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess. I mean, we were just talking before the pod about how I go out of order.
Yep.
And I was going to start with 323, but since we're on it, let's talk about server meshing.
Okay.
Because that's kind of that kind of kickstarted this huge wave of hype. I think, I guess 318's announcement kickstarted the hype, but the server meshing tests have really felt like they carried a lot of yeah, it was like the 318 or the 323 2 months of fun, and then no more persistent.
Oh, you said 318 initially. That's
yeah,
what I meant.
Sorry, I meant
323. 318 was such a killer. No, yeah, 323. I think we're still kind of riding that hype for sure. Then
yeah,
even though.
Took a little
we'll get
bit
into
of a
it,
hit.
But yeah. A little bit.
Server meshing, though, is like kind of carrying us, and it's been just so long we've been waiting it. How are you, what are your feelings about, we haven't even talked since they started doing the testing. What are your feelings about the fact that it's happening to some extent and we're experiencing it after all this time?
Okay. Well, obviously, I mean, if you, anybody who did any testing in that saw the glaring problems, right? Like they were, but I think a lot of us went to the server lines to test. So it was going to be way more obvious when you saw the problems. So for me, like the biggest issue that I saw was only that when, you know, when you QT'd and you went over a line, the QT stopped, you had to QT again.
Yeah.
If that didn't happen, think about how seamless everything would have felt. Right? Because the only change that would have really, the players would have noticed was like, okay, a little blip or something with the HUD on your ship. Right. And then you're just continuing on with your life into a new server that magically had like a better frame rate than the one you were just on or whatever, you know? And I obviously think we saw some really horrible experiences with the higher counts. So I think for an initial test, it was like, it worked. And then immediately after that, they post the letter for the chairman, right? Yeah. And that was exactly the same situation as the internal tests of PES. As soon as it worked, they came out with a letter for the chairman. And maybe we can get into that a little bit if you want later. But that has like a big implication, I think, was that letter for the chairman. A lot of people were talking about that since we last talked as well. And I think the meshing test has a lot to do with that. And go ahead.
Sorry, keep going.
No, you could, whatever you were going to ask is probably better. I was starting to lose my train of thought anyway.
No, I was just going to say, because you mentioned the letter for the chairman and how they let it out. And I do think, getting so off topic, I want to hear your thoughts about what I think was the most contentious thing that came out of that letter, which was the mentioning of Star Citizen 1.0. Like that set off a firestorm for some people. Like, what were your feelings about if they should have said anything, or if they're jumping the gun?
I mean, to answer your question, if they should have said anything, probably not, because of the way people react to it, right? I think they just reacted to the letter completely incorrectly, because I think the whole idea here was, we did it, server meshing works, and now that means this is like that last hurdle of like tech that we need to get over to start thinking about Star Citizen 1.0. You know what I mean? And I feel like that's all they were really talking about, was that we're now going to put our focus towards this thing, and we're just being this, that was the open development thing. We're just letting you know that this is our focus. And it doesn't mean that it's coming in a year. It means that it's coming in many years, but our focus is towards that thing. That's how I looked at it. And I think everyone, the problem, I made a video about it too. And I just, the main point of it was the timeline, the feel of a timeline in these letters doesn't ever resonate with the community, because it just doesn't make sense. Like it always feels like when you're reading the letter that it's like almost here, but there's no way that it's almost here based on the conversations they had. Even if they have a short list, like think of your short list and then think about what we have in 323 that has been polished and worked on and all these things for a really long time and the state they're in. And then think about what it would take to get your short list into 1.0.
Yeah.
There's a 0% chance that it's 12 months or less, right?
I mean,
it is many months.
The amount of the complex things that need to be in 1.0, NPCs, base building, the economy actually functioning, like it's just, it's not happening in a year.
All sorts of careers working together, like no way. Sorry.
So
for me, it was just an announcement of, we are shifting our focus, and we're shifting our focus onto the thing that you've always wanted.
Right.
We're away from Squadron, and we are shifting the focus to the PU, but not just the alpha of the PU anymore, the release of the PU. And it's like, hell yeah.
And it's like, if server meshing is working, if they're showing us server meshing working in the PTU or in Evocati, what is, people suddenly are like, okay, server meshing's here. You could already see it within weeks of that happening. They're like, okay, so what's next? And CIG has to say that at some, they can't just be completely silent until we get 4.0 and not give us an idea of what's coming after server meshing. So I feel like they were in a place where they have to say something.
Yeah, exactly. I think, it had to be said. It had to be mentioned. I just, like, I don't actually mean that the answer is no. I just, because I see somebody in the podcast room mentioning it as well, is like, I don't think that it was bad to make the letter. I just think that our community gets so excited, and I think the way they write the letters makes it seem like, you know, it's right around the corner, guys, you know, and it just isn't.
Oh man, some people were like, wait, are they getting rid of 4.0? I'm like, no,
they even mentioned 4.0 in the thing. Yeah, but you were so obsessed with 1.0 you didn't even notice it, bro.
Yeah, that was
and
funny.
It's not like you go from, like, it almost made it seem like they released 4.0 with Pyro, and then immediately the next patch is 1.0. Like, that's kind of how the letter reads.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's like, there's going to be, like, the length of 3.0 between, well, hopefully not the length of 3.0, but a long period of 4.x patches before you get 1.0. There might even be a 5.x, you know?
Oh,
everything
God,
changes as time goes on.
Don't do that.
I mean, I don't know what that could be, but
I'm ready for them to have a 4.x set of branches that feels like the 3.x set of branches. And it seems like they have, like, this good baseline of everything that we gave you in 3.0, we're upgrading to this standard for 4.0. So I'm also expecting all of the features we get after 4.0 to feel better when they're delivered. And that kind of feels like that's what Chad was trying to say in STL today, but they've said that before.
Yeah, of course. And it's just, it comes down to, like, I was playing 323 today, and it was horrible. Like, to the point where if this continues, I have zero desire to play 323 whatsoever. But there was a mission dev in the chat, and he was, like, saying, hey, what's going on? And I explained that, like, I pressed my, like, quantum button to quantum, and it's been about 5 minutes, and I haven't moved yet. But then all of a sudden I moved, and, like, just through talking with the devs, there's, like, this queue system on the servers, right? So I'm, like, sort of aware of this, and it's very clear that the queue is, like, bogged down. And that dev just goes, man, 4.0 can't come soon enough, right? Because that will, the queue that's happening in another server somewhere is not happening on the one that you're on. And, like, so all of that information is not bogging down everything. So it's just, it will solve so many problems. And to just get back to what we were talking about with it, it's the next server meshing tests and how much they improve on the, I mean, arguably not very good experience with the server meshing tests outside of it working. There was obviously a lot of glaring issues that we all saw, right? How well those issues are resolved are going to be really telling about how close 4.0 is, right? And how close we are to getting out of these just issues that we have with every patch that no matter what these devs do, make their work look bad.
Yeah.
Right? Like, sometimes it's just not their fault.
I feel bad for the AI folks, man. Because, like, I know AI
they look
might
stupid every patch.
Yeah. And that's got to be the biggest complaint. It's like when people talk about the game, it's the AI are dumb. They're on the chairs. They're doing this. They're doing that. AI sucks. They can't program AI. And it's like, no, have you seen them when the servers run well? They're not the best AI in the world, but not that bad.
I tell you what, they're not standing on chairs today. I think they might have got it. I'm serious. I think this time they got it. I might be, like, cuffing on it a little bit, but I think that this one was like, okay, yeah, they're not. There's not a single one standing on a chair. They're, like, walking around and doing what you would expect them to do.
Okay, so, NPCs, we'll see you learning where your feet belong. Yeah. Good for you. Well, let's talk more about that, man. You've been probably playing 323, including Evocati. You must have been playing it for, like, a month now, yeah? At least?
Yeah, I think, yeah. Yep.
Let's talk about, gosh, what do we even start with? I guess the fact that, like, this is a patch that has pretty big features. Well, I mean, it did have pretty big features, but it also has a lot of quality of life.
It, like, still does.
Great quality of life stuff updates. Just hit me with your highlight. What's looking the best in this patch so far to you?
Ooh, that's a good one. Because there's a lot of things that are looking the like really good, and I think that they're all kind of comparable. I was talking about this with my stream yesterday, because obviously I draw the more negative audience about the game. I think we have a lot of fun making fun of the game. And somebody like had typed something in chat that was like, this is just a UI patch. And I said, I don't really think it's a UI patch. So I would lump the entire user experience as improved greatly, right? Like Star Map is obviously an improvement in some ways, and maybe a similar experience in others. Like the Quantum experience still has the same bugs, but the Star Map is much more functional, right?
Yeah.
And that's totally fine because we know the Quantum experience is going to change. So they might be just holding off on fixing those bugs because the changes will fix them by themselves.
Right.
So those staying is like kind of understandable, right? Part of me wants to say the interaction system is my favorite, but because of all the delays, a lot of you guys since wave one haven't experienced it snappy. When it's snappy, it's really nice. The looting, I just noticed it today. I was looting med pens and grenades and ammo, and they auto-stacked in my backpack when I looted them.
Ooh.
But there's no splitting option. You cannot split in the new UI. So yeah, they forgot about something there. So that one's kind of bummer. But you can go to the old UI and
can you stack, I think, in the looting UI?
It auto stacks. So when you loot, you just left click now. So it's super fast, right?
Right.
But if I'm looting, and okay, so let's use med pens as an example. You have a med pen section. Mm-hmm. And there's four slots because I you know, you have four slots on your leg or whatever.
Yep.
So I collect four. But let's say there's actually seven pens inside this backpack and they're all separate. When I click one, after I have the four, it goes into the backpack automatically. When I click again, it just makes it two in your backpack.
Yo.
And that's for every item that I tried to loot, which was, I was like, whoa, I don't remember seeing it. Like, I just noticed it today. So I don't know how long that's been there, if that's been there through the whole cycle or not, but I was like, yo, this is sick.
It's actual game stuff.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't know. I like the little F button. I think it's nice and clean. And being able to, I haven't seen double F yet and how that works because things have gotten a lot worse. But I just want to, the user experience has changed significantly. And no, it is not a big ticket feature. It is a quality of life thing. And you can hate on that if you want because you were excited for certain features. Sure. But how, like, just take the example of, okay, say they delivered cargo then, but the user experience was still bad. Well, cargo would not be as enjoyable when it comes in if the user experience isn't good, right? A lot of people are like, oh, well, I want you to fix the bugs. Well, what do you think they just did? Right? A lot of this is fixing the quality of life bugs issues, and now your experience is going to be better. As salty as people think normally, right? there's times to be salty and there's times not to be, and I don't see why anybody should be upset about the things coming into the patch at all, even if you agree or disagree about the way they function.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
The user experience.
Just happy they're doing stuff.
Yeah, seriously. I mean, this stuff, like you're saying, the user experience taking a step up, just the ways you interact with things from, like you said, the default action with the F key. You said that hasn't been working well in PTU. Man, it frustrates me to no end that I finally have this prompt that I've always wanted in this game, and then I click it and nothing happens. And I'm like, now in my mind, I'm never going to trust it. You know, it's like,
yep.
I'm trying to think of what else in this game does that kind of thing. It's like
you're not going to never trust it. When it works, you're going to be so excited.
Yeah, I will. I will. And it works sometimes.
For now, you're not going to trust it though.
Yeah, it's just a little bit laggy, but I like the idea of having that, you know, click F, you know, what's going to happen. You know that you can interact with that thing. That's a huge change. How do you feel about the wheel for additional interaction?
Fine with it. We need it. Because there's sometimes multiple actions, right? I think best example, I'm trying to think, I used it today where I really, really needed it. We were in the A2 doing engineering testing, and one of the panels had, you remember the old, I think one of the best examples would be a reclaimer Have you ever gone to the Reclaimer area where you try to get in a turret and it's five enter turrets?
Yeah.
And they're all in a row and you don't know which is which. So the wheel kind of was like, all right, well, this turret is this one. This turret is this one. And it doesn't say the name of the turret yet. I hope it does one day. But it was a lot easier to use than trying to get your mouse perfectly on the right turret. And it was always bouncing up and down, you know? Yeah. So it was just a lot smarter in that case. So just when there's multiple options, you just need it. And it's intuitive. I know it's kind of cringe, but it can work for gamepads. They want the game to be controller agnostic, things like that, right? So
people need to learn to accept gamepads. They are comfortable to use. There's nothing wrong with using the gamepad.
Yeah, I agree. I haven't used them in forever. Like since I've been PC gaming a lot more in the last like 10 years, I have a hard time going back to a gamepad.
That's fair.
But overall, like, I mean, people use them. So
yeah, yeah.
What the hell, Chris uses them. They're gonna work, guys. I don't know if he still does, but
trying to get that haptic feedback, y'all.
Yeah.
I wonder how the conversations will work with this, because I remember one of the things from the vertical slice that really bugged me was whenever they would walk up to an NPC and start a conversation, the words that they would need to select to continue the conversation were like these floaty sentences that would like just kind of blow onto the screen, and you're like, am I really expected to use this system? And of course they were going to fix it, but I wonder how they've integrated it.
That's a really good point, because we saw so much of Squadron 42, but we saw no conversation.
Yeah.
We saw them conversing, but we never saw what we would say. Or did we at the beginning when we created our character?
I don't remember seeing options on the screen. I don't know. I don't remember.
Because they had a conversation with us, the character, after we created our character.
Yeah, I think it was a cutscene.
Yeah, but it was just like a cutscene where we talk, but we didn't make a decision, right?
Right, yeah. Yeah, so I wonder what that's going to look like. I always liked Mass Effect style for doing it. I think that works well with the whole circle thing, but man, Mass Effect, they went crazy with that. I don't know if... Who knows what they're going to do with Star Citizen and Squadron.
We'll see.
But yeah. All right.
Yeah.
We have to talk specifically about the star map. I know you said that kind of it works better, it's a better experience, but Quantum's not great. Is it worth it? Like, we've waited a long time for this star map. Doesn't have all the features, but like, do you see it going in the direction of everything this is needed?
Yeah. I mean, the search option being there is great. I think what's weird is I haven't experienced this yet, but when you're in a party with your friends, you're able to see where they are on your ship if you zoom all the way into your ship and stuff, which is pretty cool. So there's some really cool things here. I think I just said it, but the search option is wildly awesome. Like, okay, you select a mission. You don't need to know where that mission is anymore. Okay, you don't even need to know what planet it's around. The mission says, go to Port Alisar. And if Port Alisar is crashed on Daymar, you can, rest in peace.
Pour one out, folks.
But you can, but you could just type in Port Alisar and then hit R and you're routed there, right? So just, it's so much simpler from that standpoint. And the mini maps are, coming in. Like, we barely had any in the first few patches, and they're now, I think, locked in as many as that they're comfortable doing for 323. And it's pretty good. The one thing I will say is performance is pretty horrible in like, go to Grimhex and zoom in or whatever, and it'll all of a sudden your frames will tank. But outside of that, I think it's nice. I don't get all the hollow stuff all the time personally. And the star map's one of the only things that has the color orange and not everything being blue, which is kind of nice as well. So I'll take it.
Do we get a few more colors though? Like a green, maybe
for
a
real?
Purple. Blues.
There was a hilarious bug in Evo, and I think this is a planned feature though. Is let's say there's like five of us in a party. Around the side of the map, there'll be little markers of your party members, and they're a different color, each one of them. But when you in Evo, when you waved your mouse over it, it would create like a laser show on your screen of that color. and it would stay there. So if you laser showed on my yellow shirt and then your orange on your t-shirt, there would just be like, it would look like a laser show of all these different colors.
Love that.
But I think it's awesome because you can't see their name. It's just a dot. So if you kind of have to memorize, like, okay, Space Tomato's color is red. So I want to jump to Space Tomato. Okay, find the red dot, click it, and then hit R, and then I'm routed right to you. So Star Map, I think, is great. I just want the only piece of the puzzle that's missing from CitizenCon that I can remember is the markers are kind of worthless and pointless to use.
Yeah. And that's just combining with what you were saying about being able to jump to party members. Like, once the quantum, I'm assuming the marker comes before the quantum rework, to be honest, because that seems like a 4.0 kind of thing. And maybe the markers would be a 323.x thing. Maybe, I hope.
Probably, hopefully.
Yeah. But yeah, with the quantum rework and that, it seems like we're really going to start to be able to have more, like, less just jumping back and forth between planets and stuff, and more actually coordinating with people out in places where you might not be found. Which is really exciting. I know that must be big for you. You guys have been running, like, you store stuff and then sell it. And I bet having custom markers for that's going to be beautiful.
I can just imagine placing a custom marker on a planet and leaving a box there and just saying, you know, this is the pickup spot for, like, our gun running operation kind of thing. You know, this is the drop off spot. And then you have a few people hanging out there or whatever. So yeah, I think a lot of things in 323 are going to be opening up a lot of cool little gameplay things. A lot of sandboxy stuff, which is nice.
It's definitely like a gateway patch to a lot of different things. One of the other things I saw on the Star Map, you mentioned people walking around on ships. I actually noticed you can see ships flying around the space stations on the map.
Yeah.
Which is that's cool.
In the engineering demo, we were nose to nose to A2s, and you could see their A2 coming right, like, in our engineering panel.
Oh, that's crazy. Yeah. That's nuts.
And the immediate thought was, can we turn their power off with our engineering panel? We couldn't.
Just click on their settings.
We tried.
It's like a cool.
You could only see the hologram of their ship, not their icons or whatever.
That makes sense. It's like a cool knock-on effect of the, like, just the way that they're building this engine. And it's really cool, I think, to be able to see them building that system and then see that happen in game and be like, okay, I get why that's happening, because the way you guys are doing the maps. One that's, I think, probably still the really nervous point now that I'm just looking at it, for the rest of 323 or 323.0 are the distribution centers. I haven't had good experiences with those in PTU. Do you think they're going to make it for the initial patch?
I mean, they'll be there. So this patch, they have the missions at them. I guess the last couple. And they're just like the basic missions. They're going to be there. Like, the one thing about this patch is whatever's there is going to be there. Is it going to be in a way that you want? I do not think so. And I think the distribution centers are going to really fall, unfortunately, under that umbrella of this is rough.
Was that a pun? You said fall? Because I keep falling every time I go there.
Yeah. Falling through the... Did you the try floor. To land in the... Yeah. So there's a lot of problems. Did you try to go upstairs and you fell through the floor up
there?
I've fallen
outside down to the ground. So I was stuck under the cement of the actual building. I've fallen through the planet when I landed. I fell out of, like, a vent when I was underneath. Just every visit to a distribution center ends with me falling.
Yeah. I think they bit off more than they can chew for one release when it comes to those. And it is what it is. I don't see them if they aren't providing or doing the further along things that I think that they described for them, I'm less interested in them than your average person. I think, again, I was in Evo, so I had a good opportunity to kind of walk around them a lot or see other people walk around them. So for me, they're just really big, like, Siege of Orison platforms, essentially.
Yeah.
that are a ton of static assets, but nothing really happening at them. And that's the vibe they're giving right now. But when you start thinking about the cargo reworks and the raids and the what they can potentially be, sure, they sound fantastic. But in 323, it's just another bunker, man. That's yeah. It's a cool looking bunker. I will say though, I hope there's. I'm sort of disappointed in some aspects of it. I obviously love mining. There's a refinery at some of these, or at all of these, I think. And the refinery is literally just art assets. And it's just like, I feel like art had the entire say in how everything goes at these. And it's just like this giant bunch of stairs and things that you walk, but no purpose to it. It looks cool. But like, there was tons of opportunity that could have happened there for players to play. And I don't see any of it currently. But then there's also tons of cool stuff. So if you've been at them, have you seen like those little satellite parts, like these like tiny little, without for lack of better term, like little distribution center that has like a freight elevator and it's got Ursa rovers at it. They're like quite far away from, they're maybe like 500 to 1,000 meters from the proper distribution center, but they have like Ursa rovers at them. So almost like you might be delivering stuff to and from, driving vehicle, like they almost make it so like driving a vehicle might matter. So there's like just endless potential for these, but it won't be realized in 323 just based on the way things are at the moment.
It is a normal location addition. You look at it and you're like, yeah, that's going to be great in a few patches when they add missions. And you know, some of them, they don't even like, some of them still don't get the missions. I feel like in 2022, I think it was, they started to add locations with missions, which was good. But now it's like, okay, we've gotten used to this. Now add them with new missions.
Yeah, I guess that's fine to say new missions or whatever. I just, the missions are in that place of like, it needs 4.0 so bad. Do we need new missions, or do we need better AI, or do we need, like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I feel like we haven't played the missions that we have yet in a lot of ways. Like, I don't think we've ever experienced a mission in Star Citizen the way it was ever intended to be experienced yet.
You mean
to this day?
Box delivery missions are not supposed to end with me just walking away with a box I can't turn in. I thought that was like them being nice.
I got so lucky. So I was looking forward to the cargo stuff so much, right? So my last week, all my streams last week were saying goodbye to all the shit that I hate. I gained Max Hurston, not Max, but I got the highest Hurston deliveries or whatever from Redwin. So I did box deliveries, okay? None of them failed. Not a single one failed the entire time, which was crazy. I did drug running, like from like Jump Town and selling that. I had some issues with that. I did whole sea trading. That was a disaster that ended in explosion. And I used the tractor beams on the C1, which is a disaster. But if you are a Cutlass fan, they moved the tractor beam from outside to the inside of the ship, which might be a little bit better.
Still ends with that awkward part where you go right underneath.
Yeah.
That never feels good.
Did you use it yet? I haven't used it yet, the Cutlass one.
No, not the Cutlass one, but I have the same thing in the C1. So I figured it. I think the Cutlass is even smaller.
Yep. But they like moved it further back, so that awkward position happens later. Again, this will be totally off topic, and I'm sorry we're going off topic a lot. But I feel like the vibe that they wanted with tractor beams is the ship tractor beam pulls the box close to the ship, and then somebody inside the ship does the rest, is almost what they thought would happen. And I think we all wanted to be in the ship moving the cargo and never having to do the manual, you know, the way they set it up at least.
Yeah, I understand doing it both ways too, depending on the ship and like the application. I think in like if you're doing zero G asset retrieval and there's a bunch of boxes everywhere, then yeah, Absolutely, you want somebody on the track to be just bringing that stuff to like right in front. But then at the same time, if I'm loading a couple 32SU boxes, I need a vehicle tractor beam, but so I want to be able to move all the way into the vehicle. I don't know. The placement of those is weird, and I think the Zeus...
Very.
CL, is it called? Clipper? The Zeus Clipper.
I think there was one on the inside there, right?
No, they actually had, at least in the concept art, I don't know if they're going to actually do it, they had it on a rail. So, like, the tractor beam extended out from the back of the ship, which I think would help a lot.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I do wonder if they're going to try and do something like that with the ships. It could be useful, but for now, it's a little awkward.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. I don't know. But I'm sad. No cargo.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll talk about what we do know about cargo now. Real quick before we move on from distribution centers. So the missions that they talked about in ISC, where you like the lawless, the unlawless, those things, are those in or is that happening?
The unlawful have been in for a while, but like missions just, I mean, again, we're dealing with the servers. I think they were in Evo before it even went wave one. I had maybe a good handful of missions available to me today. I'll just tell you my experience today wasn't great. It took a while to jump there. When I jumped to the location, it jumped me somewhere else. When I finally got to the location, it didn't spawn in. Like the actual distribution center just wasn't there. And then the server crashed. And then I waited maybe a minute. And then the distribution center was there. But my mission kind of was there, but wasn't there. I had the markers, but I didn't have it in my Mobi glass, but it wasn't abandoned. And the actual mission was happening in front of me. There were Hurston guard, or I guess Sakura Sun guards, killing pirates for my mission. But I was in an armistice zone. I couldn't pull my gun out. So yeah, it was just like, they're there, but I have yet to experience them.
That was the...
So are they there?
That was the tactical emotional support mission. You just... Yeah. I'm not pulling out a gun. You guys just kill those pirates. Good job.
It was kind of funny though, because I would come out of cover, the pirate would shoot at me, and then the guard would be like, and then go over there and kill the NPC. So I was kind of like guiding the Sakura Sun guards to kill the NPCs in the area and do the mission for me, but it was never updating. It was just, there's...
Okay.
It's a disaster at the moment. Like, I don't know what else to say. Like, it is 318 levels bad, but you can log in.
Okay.
Right? Like, that's where we are right now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So...
Right
like
now.
Like 3.0?
One patch can turn it around.
Would you say like 3.0
crashed? It's hard because they crash so much. So this is more just like bugs instead of crashes.
I see. Okay.
But it, instead of it being bugs, it's this queue thing of just the whole thing is slowed down. Everything you do has a delay. Every mission you try to accept has a delay. Everything the AI is trying to do has a delay. It's just this delay thing. It's a new experience, but it's 318 levels of.
It's
unplayable.
It's,
I guess,
pretty
is
awful.
The way to say it.
Yeah, no, the delays are bad because especially you don't know what exactly is happening.
When?
Like, you do something and is the server crashing? Did you just misclick? Is that UI bugged or is there a giant delay? And you're just kind of standing there like, okay, I'll just keep clicking this thing. Yeah, it's frustrating.
Yep.
And if it goes to live like that, we're in a lot of trouble. I think whatever has caused that, they need to figure out.
I'm scared.
You think it's actually going to go?
Will.
Ooh,
I think it could, because this is an Invictus patch. So we're in a situation where we don't have a choice. They don't have a choice. Why is cargo out of 323? Not because of any reason other than there is a hard date of when this patch has to go live.
Yeah.
There is not the option to delay it. Right. So if there was the option to delay it, most studios would be like, well, the highlight feature of the patch is needs a little bit more time. We're going to give it a little bit more of that time and get it polished for you guys, and then we'll deliver to you that experience, right? We're not going to have that this time. And that's why I'm worried about 3.0 being like that. But then I think they'll do their ship sale. Everyone's going to get happy about the, you know, Retaliator and maybe the Zeus or the Polaris or whatever that they're going to show. And I think they're going to show the Polaris because it wasn't mentioned in the monthly report at all.
Yeah,
so
it was
I think
not.
It might be done. Yeah, so I was like, oof. That was interesting.
That
it not mentioning that. It was kind of, yeah, for them not mentioning it was like kind of mentioning it in my mind. But I think once they get through all that, then the 0.1 patches will happen and they'll deal with it and things will clear up. I hope it's not a 318 to what I think it took until like 321 to like really resolve a lot of the issues from 318 and the game became like properly playable again to 317 levels. You know, everyone's experience could have varied, but that was right about mine. It was either 320 or 321 when things started to feel actually okay. Mm-hmm. 'Cause 319 was still really rough. And yeah. I just hope it's not like that. I hope it's just the dot ones and we'll see. Again, I kind of mentioned it quickly, like one patch, everything could change. So
yeah, I'm wondering
you get these
if
delays out and the experience might be great.
I'm wondering if they're going to push the replication layer separation again, like if that's causing the problems.
Maybe. I mean, it definitely caused problems early in the patch. Like we were getting in loops, death loops of it because it was replicating the crash mm-hmm. over and over again.
Yeah.
So it could, but it seems okay. Like I had a really fast replication of the recovery and everything was good after. Like it solved my problems. So I don't know. We'll see.
I hope it's not that, and I hope that can get into the game. But if it's not that, then I'm also like, oh crap, what is causing all this hang up with the queuing and stuff? Because then it's like, is it something they can just remove, or is it something that they are now stuck with?
Well, it's something we've experienced before, and it's something that they have fixed. So I'm relatively confident that it will get fixed. It's just a matter of how long.
Let's talk about... dang it, I just lost it. Reputation. Hostility from the reputation standpoint. What are your thoughts on that so far? How has that performed in the PTU, if you've noticed?
Don't know.
Dang
I've tried to test it so many... Every day I go in and try and test it. That is my one goal, because if I was to put a list of the things that I really wanted to see in 323, it was cargo first and reputation second.
Mm-hmm.
And... like the one thing I could say is there's turrets at Grimhex now. So that's got to mean something, that if I'm running Crusader security missions all the time, am I not going to be able to land at Grimhex? Are they going to shoot at me? Right. And that's what I wanted to do. I was spawning in Orison every new patch and I was trying to go through Crusader. I just could not get a single mission complete during this cycle. Right. And I want to know what it's like to build that reputation up and lower the reputation up with the Ninetales and see what it's like to try to land at Grimhex or other places and whatever. So I don't know. All I know is whatever they're doing is the first, another first step, but a first step towards something really important. Have you
it's
experienced
so
anything?
Important. No, I was thinking
I can't
the
find
same
anything.
Thing. I really want to know, can you confirm, because you did mention there, does reputation go down based on rep with other orgs? No, don't know. See, that's super important for us to know, and I don't think it was in the patch notes. I don't know what was in the patch notes about this feature.
Yeah. Like, by the time that things started to get more playable, like, they weren't delivering the cargo stuff, and I was starting to get kind of burned out of because it felt, even though you're in a PTU and it's a test environment, I would imagine most people want to jump into the game and play, experience, and not test. But because things were so broken, I'm getting so burned out that I don't feel like going through, because it feels like you're just going through the meat grinder with this stuff to try to do anything. You would test reputation by playing the game, but you can't play the game. So therefore you're not finding out how the new ways that those things work. Right. So
it's a long-term kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
So unfortunately, I wish
not
I
much
knew
on
more.
That.
I'm so excited for that.
Well, let's talk about your number one feature. To wrap up, I guess, the 323 discussion, this was a big topic today, and there's a lot to say on it, but we won't spend a ton of time going over it today. But like cargo hauling, persistent hangars, item banks, freight elevators, all got delayed out of 323.0. What were your initial feelings about that? That's kind of something people were expecting, and it felt like it was going to happen for a while. I actually like delayed my video release because I was like, this is probably not going to be great if I put this out and there's something damning on Wednesday. But I think everybody kind of expected it to happen. So knowing almost certainly it was going to happen, how did it feel to see it?
I mean, obviously it was disappointing, but the thing for me is if it's something I'm looking forward to, I want it to work. Right, like how many people were probably looking forward to distribution centers and are now disappointed? Well, I don't want that to happen to me in cargo, right? And I'm sorry, but distribution centers are not as big of a pillar to the game as cargo is. So we kind of want these things to be in a place where you can like give feedback for them and have them work and so on and so forth. And I'm fine with them delaying it. I'm just not fine with them delaying it and being like it's going to be in a .x patch and then it doesn't come out for five patches like they've done in the past. I think that they were very open on the SCL that's not the intention whatsoever. We're super close, so on and so forth is what they're saying. So, I'm cool with it. I was cool with it after reading Roadmap Roundup. I'm cool with it now, but I'd be lying if I wasn't saying like, I have no desire to play 323 live at this moment. Like I will be playing Manor Lords. I will be playing other games during 323.0 most likely more than I'm playing Star Citizen and just waiting for the cargo things, unless like, reputation or whatever starts looking cool or something like that. But in general, super disappointed, but I'm not going to kick my feet and yell and scream about something when they're like, hey, it's not ready, you know?
But you've been through this. You know what it is. Yeah.
Exactly.
It lines up with what they said on the roundup too, that they have it working. So we know it's good and it's actually working. It's just like maybe they were a couple weeks off. I actually really like that Chad specifically said, this is something that we planned out from last year. Like, remember the design brief stuff. And like maybe they threw a date that they would be ready. And like, it's okay if they're a couple of weeks off from that date. And letting us know that, hey, this might be a month later. I like that more than, pushing it through and having it be like the release of, what was a release that came out that was just not good, but big?
Structural Salvage.
Yeah. Or Looting or Hover Mode. Yeah. People are going to hate me for that Hover Mode one. But yeah, like. There are things that have come out into the game that are supposed to do good things, and they don't splash.
Structural Salvage did good things, but I think even the developers were not pleased with the state in which they came out. Like they just seem like, I have so much more I want to do with this, and they put them out in the way that it is, and it is what it is. But I think most people are kind of like, yeah, I expect a lot more from Structural Salvage, and I'm sure it will be more at some point, but I would much rather, I guess Structural Salvage isn't a good example because it works. And in their case, it seems like there's some hurdles to climb. It was very weird the way the community communicated it, both in Roadmap Roundup and on SCL, was we're right there, we're so close, but this is super technical and super hard. So like also making it seem like it's not close at the same time. So it's like, I'm curious as to what happens when it actually comes out, but they make it sound like whatever hurdle they are dealing with is a complicated one, right?
Do you have any predictions? 323.1, 323.2?
Or when these, I think no when chance patches... 323.1. Because if they were smart, and I think when it comes to their marketing, they are, why would they want to put any added instability into a patch that they're going to be putting a free fly on and that they're going to be trying to get new players.
Yeah.
Right. So I imagine it'll come after
that is one.
And we all know dot one is the Invictus. Last year. So I think we're all assuming that last year will be very, this year will be very much like last year. We'll get a dot zero in a couple weeks or a week. We get a dot one. That's the sale. And then we go.
Stability patch, sales patch. Yeah, hopefully dot two in June gives us that kind of stuff. What did you hear today?
It's a weird year, too.
It is a weird year.
Weird year.
Yes.
What are the patches? Like, when will they land?
What the heck's going? Yeah. It's
there even a 324? Like, nobody knows what the hell's going on. So this is the weirdest year in terms of, like, we can't look at previous years and judge what this year will be like.
And last year was like that too. It's driving me nuts, man. I'm like, what? When are the four updates going to happen? Like, are we going to get a 324 in July, maybe? And then 4.0 in October? Are we going to see 4.0 in August, September? And then
I don't think we get four. I think we get three this year.
You don't think we get a 4.0 this year?
No, four patches. I think we get three patches this year. And I'm fine.
Yeah, that could be it, too. But then, like, what are the three patches? We get another one in September.
Who knows what's after 323? Like, a lot of things that were shown, a lot of the stuff shown at CitizenCon is in 323. A lot.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what's not there? Base building, crafting. We don't know what was coming with cargo. There was a lot of stuff talked about with cargo.
Some more stuff with the things that they are putting in, like physical interactions, sliding, mm-hmm. some of the new weapons updates. Like, but the basic stuff, is almost mostly in 323.
A lot of CitizenCon is in there.
On its own, kind of crazy to say. It's always been
That's why, like,
CitizenCon.
People knocking the patch.
Yeah.
Is a little weird, you know? It is. I know it's not, like, the big ticket. Like, you're not jumping a pyro in this patch or, you know, the cargo thing. But you do have a lot of the stuff that you were probably excited about at CitizenCon. Because you're still here thinking about it, right?
Yeah.
And you were probably... Your hype was enhanced by CitizenCon. I don't know how it couldn't have been. So, yeah.
I think a lot of that stuff comes with 4.0. The quantum rework seems like a good 4.0 one. All the MFDs AI. And HUDs and UI stuff that they're talking about. Yeah. Engineering as an actual feature. So, like, they've got some stuff to remove. But what are some of, like, the best things you heard about the cargo and persistent hangar stuff during Star Citizen Live today? I've got one to start one off if you need.
Start me off.
I was very, it makes sense when you think about it, but I was very pleased to hear about their philosophy around accessing your own inventory or even letting other people access your inventory in your personal hangars.
I think it was funny that they were considering allowing party members to. Because that's insane.
Yeah, that would be.
I got super excited by the fact that if you can do it for party members, hopefully the next step is to do it with org members and authorization and like
permissions.
It could happen. Permissions. Yeah. Like, it can start happening. Very, very exciting. That really stuck out to me more than anything. The second thing that really, really, I mean, I was almost late for this podcast because I stopped and paused and talked about this for so long with my chat, was when they talked about, depending on the location you're picking up boxes, those locations will only support certain sized boxes. So the little outposts are going to have one, and, well, they didn't name any numbers, so I'm just speculating, you know, one SCU to, like, let's say 8 SCU. And then the bigger ones might have up to 16, and then, you know, whatever. So the idea of that is very interesting, and I think it's good, and I think it's not great at the same time, because I don't know about you, but I think what they wanted to do was create a situation where you wanted to use smaller ships, and now I just see myself taking a lot of small cargo missions but with a big ship and combining them together, and I'm still just flying around in a C2. Like, I just want there to be a purpose of using a Hull A or a Cutlass.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or like, why am I using my smaller cargo ships? And their explanation didn't quite hit on that for me. So we'll see. Like,
it's
is speed a thing? right? Will speed come into play, and then the whole C or the C2 maybe doesn't work as well?
That's kind of, yeah, that's like now the ball's in their court to figure that out, because it's nice, yep. And they used to talk about this. I hope they never, ever limit a mission or something in the game, like officially, based on what ship you have. I hope they're not like, this mission can only be taken by ships of this length or something like that, right? They always build in something that kind of pushes you, like you're saying, to use the right ship. So I don't know what that would be in this instance. If
me too.
Like maybe...
You have to be on the landing pad? Maybe, and the landing pads don't fit the larger ships? Maybe you have to request landing?
Maybe it's just not worth it? Like, if you have a ship that big, maybe just monetarily, you're not going to make as anywhere near as much money as you could doing...
Maybe in the released game.
Well, yeah.
I would say, yeah.
It'd be different
now. Because then it's fuel and maintenance and so on. But right now, I can't see a situation where I wouldn't use a C2 still.
That's fair for now, yeah.
But my commentary on it was, but I don't want to say anything until I play it. Because there's... so much that we're missing here, I'm sure, that the feel of the experience needs to be a part of that before you can be like, it's not good, you know? And I don't think it's not good. I think it's a great idea. I mean, that was the most excited I was during the whole show, I think, was that I find that to be very cool, because then it's, have you ever been at a port before, right? With the big cargo ships and those standard size containers, well, they only work in those containers at that port, right? They don't have too many different sizes there. It makes sense. But I got into a big argument with my chat about this, because I always looked at the stations like Seraphim or Port Tressler and things like that as the hub of where all these missions are going to come from. So like, the whole sea would take these big, huge amounts of cargo from one station to another. But then there would be all these small missions that are going from the station down to the surface.
Yeah.
That's what I thought was going to happen. Right. Seems logical. Right. Because in the real world, we have the stuff comes from the port, and then from the port, it goes to a distribution center. Interesting term there. Right. Because we have them. So from the port, it goes to a distribution center, and then goes out to that last mile to your house. But for us, the way the game works is I'm one quantum jump away from the last mile when I'm at that station above the planet, right? So it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to do the extra, that middle manager of the distribution center for cargo.
Yeah.
I think they're going to do it. But yeah, I just found that to be a little weird, and I was arguing about it and I couldn't get my point across.
There's also, I mean... You're completely right about like station to station and then smaller missions from stations down to planets. Even on the whole sea sales page, they had like that infographic that showed that same model. Yep. I think that's what they're going for. I hope. I'm always stuck wondering, how are the missions going to be distributed? Are they going to come from the final destination of whatever cargo is trying to be applied? Like, is it coming from
the
outpost?
Logic?
Is it coming from the space station that's over the planet?
Yep. Like, are they going to be random the way we have now for the first iteration? Is there going to be any logic behind them of like, does this specific place only take missions for these types of materials? Are the prices going to change ever? Like, you know, there's so much more that the 1 hour SEL and the number of ISCs that they've done are just not going to tell us.
Yeah.
And it just comes down to we put it out there, and then we explore, and then we have more questions, and there's more ISCs and more SCLs about future plans and so on. But yeah.
That was an exciting
part of SCL, it. Yeah, that SCL made me feel better, right? It didn't make me feel worse necessarily, where, I don't know, the Banu Merchantman SCL didn't make anybody feel good when they found out that was delayed or whatever, right? There's some bad experiences you can have with SCL, but that one made me feel better. I think that they're on the right track and things seem logical for the most part. It's just a matter of what exactly did he mean by route? Did you hear him say, like, there's a point where he was talking about that and he was like, these routes will be, these will be the more profitable routes or something like that. I don't remember exactly what he said, but the word route was mentioned, and I need to know what he means by route.
Yeah.
Right? Is it a consistent route that is all the time from this station to there? Because that is like a Sakura-san is the name of a distribution center. I think they just make like toys. So are they going to buy like plastics, right? And is that route always going to be the plastic silicon comes from, I think silicon was in Pyro. So let's say silicon comes from Pyro, is moved to certain station in like maybe the Pyro jump point. From there goes to a factory distribution center like Sakura-san, turns into toys, and then is distributed somewhere else. Maybe.
Yeah.
See?
Yeah, it. I'm guessing that plays into kind of the missions, and missions will have preset routes that are kind of, they'll always get you guaranteed money, but then you have the sort of commodity trading that is a lot more scalable that you find the routes for. But ultimately, I do think that this whole idea of having different types of shipping routes or cargo missions based on where you're going is really a really good direction for them to go in. The more that they can diversify the way people are actually doing these careers in the game, then the better it'll be for the people who want to jump in. So every cargo hauler isn't doing the same exact thing or going after the same thing, and that's what I like to hear. And I really like that when we're hearing it now, it's not so much of, yeah, you could do this, or we were thinking you could do this, or maybe you know, it'll be like this. It's like, this is the feature. Yeah, it's not in the PTU, but we know it's working. We see it in ISC. You guys are talking from more of a, we have engineered this standpoint, as opposed to a, we are designing this to be this way kind of standpoint. I think that made this talk about the cargo stuff a lot better than before.
Yeah, it's, to some extent they have a plan, and to some extent they don't. They asked my question, and my question was like, what are you doing with cargo decks? And it basically just made it seem like they were like, well, you know, things have changed.
We don't know yet.
And I'm like, so you never had a plan in the first place? Like, what the hell? I was not happy with that.
Yeah.
Because, like, but the problem was I don't think I worded the question well. Because what I was really trying to ask is, like, all right, you got the whole sea, and you trade in and go to these, like, magical boxes where the stuff just magically ends up on your ship. That's obviously not the intended end game design of that feature, right? So are we going to, you know, dock up to the cargo station area, or what were your like kind of longer term plans with it? And I think they just kind of felt like I mentioned or was asking about the inside the room.
Mm-hmm.
And I can understand them not fully having a plan super for that, like a ton for that room. Although, you know, I think at IEE this year, we saw there was, you know, the guild and the company, you know, the reputation building things that they showed. So it seems like they have some idea, but maybe that was just art. I don't know.
The cargo decks have got to be like the most sore thumb in Star Citizen's development at this point, because they're just so out there and just not, they're useless. I'm sorry to say it.
It's one of those things where, like, you know, they're always like, we love to hear your feedback and all this stuff. And I don't know what could have been better feedback than the amount of hype that was always around them, right? Like, everyone always was so excited about them before they came in, and was so disappointed with the way that they came in, that I don't know why work on them proper was never prioritized. I agree, it's like a super sore thumb, but it never quite made sense. Like, some things are like, all right, server meshing will fix this, right? They don't want to get into it until after server meshing. But the cargo deck never made sense to me that it was never prioritized.
Felt like a PES thing, or like the cargo hauling profession. Like, they didn't want to do anything with it until they knew how cargo hauling would work, and which is terribly, then don't make it.
Like, exactly.
I understand the whole idea of making locations in advance because they need to come eventually, but like, that's so far out there. There are other locations that they made that they couldn't use at first that they found ways to use now, but like, there was nothing in space stations that couldn't take the spot of what cargo decks did. an admin center, and a shop. That's it. That's all that we would need.
Yep.
So yeah, that was that's weird. I'm glad you asked that, though.
I always found it super odd. Yeah, it was like most of the questions, I got to the thread pretty late. So most of the questions that were asked were all like bang, easy upvote. I have no, you know, nothing else I would want to ask except for that. So I just asked it and I'm not happy with the answer.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel that. Let's talk about the rest of the year. 323. Well, actually, we'll close that conversation out about 323. Is it... We talked in February and we were feeling good about the update. And like throughout the conversation today, it still sounds like you're feeling fairly good, but we've lost some stuff. Overall though, definitively, where does this patch sit for you in like compared to other patches? Is this a really good one? Is it kind of okay? You said you almost might sit out the first part of it.
Yeah, I mean, I think a big part of the conversation that we had in February was how excited I was to play. And I'm not at all. And I don't think I should get any hate for that. I don't think, I mean, for once, I'm probably doing what everybody would want me to do, and that's quit the game and not play it, from my YouTube comments, at least. I'm very happy with, it's so hard because of this delay problem that we're having, but the features that have come in and that are confirmed all feel really good. I cannot wait to do, like, if I'm playing, I'm going to be playing in Arena Commander a lot. One thing that we haven't mentioned, the FPS changes have been absolutely awesome. I am awful at FPS, but I was able to learn the jank that was Star Marine before this. Mm-hmm. That jank, for the most part, is now gone, and I am getting absolutely dumpstered on, but I'm enjoying it because the guns feel like they should. Everything feels good. I don't mind going into Gun Rush and getting dumpstered. And it's been a good time, and I'll continue to do that. And the engineering mode is really nice as well. So they're like, today it finally got nice. A couple of other tweaks that Torsten said he's going to put in, and it's even better. The A1 versus A1 right now in this patch, what day are we recording on? Friday?
It's Friday,
is not good. But apparently the next patch, it's going to be a little bit better. They're kind of lowering the damage of lasers. Lasers are blowing up the ship before the engineering components can get destroyed. Mm-hmm. So it's a horrible experience. But the Gladius has smaller lasers, less lasers, and ballistics. So the squadron battle mode of it is you and an A2 versus Gladiuses, and they even out the... That is awesome. Like, awesome. So I am so excited for more updates to that. And I think that's all I'm going to play is Gravlev because I'm addicted and, you know, just Arena Commander stuff.
Okay.
But as far as the PU goes, I literally may not log in. I'm not even kidding. I might not log in, but I might do it just for B-roll for a YouTube video and go to a distribution center or something.
Yeah,
like, that's
I feel that. Let's go back to Arena Commander then, because that was high praise. The FPS stuff, all the jank is gone. You said it just feels better. Weapons feel better. Is it is it getting to, like, satisfying FPS experience, actually?
For me, yeah. But I'm not... the problem with that is I'm not an FPS player. Like, I'm not a CSGO pro or anything like that. So I don't know if I'm the right person to speak on.
I don't
it would kind
mean...
of be like you and me talking about... Is Master Modes good for PvP right now, right? Like, you bring on Yogi and Avenger 1 for something like that.
Yeah,
but
I wouldn't...
It feels good.
I wouldn't say, is it good in terms of, like, you can do everything that you need to as an FPS player to kill everybody. But, like, as a casual player, you know, one of the things that's just really annoying is you want to play Arena Commander, but it's just, like, a drag. Are you trying to say that that's kind of gone?
Well, I feel like people will still feel like it's a drag, because Arena Commander has a small player base and you're going to be playing against sweats and you're going to die a lot.
Okay.
And there's not like a ranking system where you're going to play against me in the beginning and then play against Hannah or DeBalta or somebody who are, like, crazy good at, you know, when you get higher rank, and they won't be playing against you. But the experience is the way I expect it to be. Like, laser weapons feel like laser weapons. the snipers really feel like snipers now. And, you know, SMGs feel like SMGs. Pistols even feel good, right? Like, it just is starting to feel how I would expect it to. And for me, that's nice. And like, I feel like each gun I'm learning, right? Because Gunrush has nearly every gun in it now because there's a lot of issues with Arena Commander and renting stuff. And in the PU, actually. And the experience of going through each gun and getting better at it, or also watching them improve them throughout the patches, has been really nice.
Yeah.
So, that's cool. Like, the one thing I'll say is you give feedback in the next patch, that feedback is in. And like, that's sick. They care on that side of things. And not that other people don't care. I think it's a little easier to implement feedback on the weapon side, but they're active and they're making changes, and
that's
so far
it
feels good.
That's really good to hear. And then engineering, you were saying, feels really nice. I only got to do it once and it wasn't the most stable session that I had. But can you quickly tell us what it is that feels good about it? It doesn't feel monotonous or like it's too much.
Well, the big problem with it before was that the ships, no matter what the situation was, the A2 would explode before engineering had an opportunity to happen. So today was the first time that a component died and we had to repair it. Or we were kind of learning that you have to be mega, mega precise to knock out a fuse. Like, you have to actually physically hit the fuse with a ship weapon to knock it out.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you have to learn the ship of where all these components are in order to destroy them. You know, destroying turrets, knocking guns off of players' turrets that are shooting back at you, things like that. Like, it just is starting to become the experience that you would expect it to be. So very similar to the guns of, like, the game is becoming a game. Now, I feel like people are not going to enjoy the engineering thing as much because I think they don't realize that you're testing and that they've upped the damage to components, they've lowered the damage to the ship, they're trying to find the middle ground to make engineering fun, so it's not going to be fun all the time. But with that said, like, we had I think 9 people, so there was a team of 5 and a team of 4, and with that I was in the A2 most of the time. It's just the luck that I had. I didn't end up on the side with the Gladiuses, but we were getting in turrets. The turret experience is a lot better. They still need to maybe up the speed that the guns fire or something so they actually hit. Unfortunately, my shots didn't hit as often as I think we would want them to, so that made the experience not so good. But in general, the UI on the turret is really good. Guys, like, just press G and go into gimbaled mode in a turret, and it's like, whoa. And then press G and go into precision mode in a turret, and then you're going to freak out.
It's good stuff.
Because you can be hyper accurate when it comes to that. Like, with a mouse, you can place the shots on the component you're trying to hit, and the ship is moving. Like, wow. It was impressive. Like, we were shooting out power plants, 2 A2s moving around each other, and we were able to actually press on that. Like, it was awesome. Yeah.
Do you like that? A lot of people have problems with the precision targeting and how combat is changing around ships, which kind of rolls over into master mode stuff. But do you like how that feels? Do you think turrets are getting too powerful?
I mean, okay. So it works when it was big ship versus big ship, but when it was small ships, no. So I think people are kind of freaking out that, like, I'm going to be able to precision target a Gladius flying near me, and I couldn't hit it. If I tried in precision mode. So it works to some extent and doesn't in others. And I think it works in the situations it should and not in the situations it shouldn't so far.
Okay.
So I like it, but I think all things around master modes are like, I'm not touching that stuff. It's like, everybody's losing their mind.
Keep it at arm's length.
I'm not making any claims around it. Yeah. Cause I don't know if it's good or if it's bad. I just know that, I liked being in a turret today. It was fun.
Yeah, I feel
that's
what
video
dude.
Games are about, is having fun. Holy, imagine that. So
let's talk
fun
about
today.
That's actually, that's something that you said when you were describing this stuff. The game is becoming a game. And
yep,
we can see different things, different little aspects being changed, from the range of bullets to how combat works to the, like, the HUD, the interaction system. A lot of things are kind of coming in, and some might say are casualizing or gamifying it. But
yeah,
there are a lot of design decisions that are going on. Do you feel like some of these decisions are, or I guess any of these decisions are things that CIG is just whipping up out of nowhere, or do these things feel like stuff No. they've been working towards and you've been expecting?
Well, like, I for me personally, I mean, you might be asking, you're asking not the wrong person, but I am going to, like, vehemently, like, battle against anybody who is saying that, you know, the choices that they're making are making the game arcadey or blah, blah, blah. Like, I just look at it in the sense of, I don't think they're coming from nowhere. I think the guy Zach, who's, like, on the weapon team, which, by the way, another thing that was in the most recent patches is, like, you can stop your reloads now by pressing sprint.
Oh,
so remember,
yeah,
you get stuck in reload? Like, that's gone. It's amazing. So, like, they're doing good things, and then they're doing things that you might not like, right? Like sniper glint or whatever, right? And a lot of people are freaking out about those things. My feelings on that are, I don't think they're coming from nowhere. Sniper glint is in other games, and they're looking to do something like balancing. Oh my God. Have you ever been to Jump Town and got sniped out of nowhere and had no idea where it was coming from and nothing in your arsenal to figure out where they are? Yes, it's happening to me, and it's not a very fun experience, and it's not how a sniper should work, right? Like, snipers at that time had no bullet drop. They were,
yeah,
like, they can auto, you can auto aim, like, basically auto aim and all those things. And it was just not great. So I think they put in some things to try to balance the game and make it a little bit more not one-sided. Do I think they went in the, first off, do I think they went in the wrong direction with sniper glint? Probably. Do I think that they maybe went too far towards making the sniper too, like, less powerful? Maybe. But one thing that I feel like we're getting is a bunch of keyboard warriors spamming on Spectrum that probably aren't even wave one, that are freaking out about things that, like, I saw photoshopped images on Twitter and stuff like that of the glint being bigger than it was, to try to, like making campaigns to make the glint go away or something. Like, people are showing it through rocks that you could see the glint, and in third person, and these are all issues that they're aware of, and so on and so forth. What I want to see when it comes to things like that is to have a Jump Town in a live build and then see what it feels like, because that's where the feedback came from to make the changes in the first place. So the feedback should come from, is it good enough in those situations? And I'm not going to say it's good, it's bad, it's ugly, or, you know, praise or yell at any developer who is trying to make the game better for once and trying to make it a game for, like, it makes me laugh when you said gamify something. Like, we need to gamify things. There has been no game for 12 years, right? So these are things that I'm just happy they're making decisions to try to make it fun. And when I go in and play it, actually, I will say if it's good or if it's bad. And again, I don't agree with the glint. I don't think it's a good idea, because I think we saw the scanning ping at CitizenCon. I think that's a way better solution to find a sniper than glint. And I think when that stuff comes in, then you get rid of the glint. And that's it.
Yeah.
You know? So that's where I'm at with it.
It feels a lot better to be talking about
gameplay.
Yeah.
Game
like
design.
People getting opinions about gameplay, actually, instead of, I don't know, the release cadence of updates or something. Like, we're having real game
exactly.
conversations now, which is great.
Exactly. The whole show we talked about the feel of something, and did it feel good, and was it enjoyable? We're not talking about what is that this new thing that's coming in the future going to be enjoyable, right? Is it the right to sit, you know, like, we're talking about the game for once. Like, recognize that you are raging on Spectrum about the game. How great is that?
Turn around and cheer real quick. Like, just give yourself a pat on the back. Yeah. You made it.
Yeah. Like, you should be happy you're mad about this thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know I am.
That's the one good thing about it is, like, people are passionate about this. The game wouldn't be here still if they weren't. Yeah. So it's. Yeah.
And in their balance, they've always gone too far in one direction. They're like, it's really bad, then it's really good, and then it ends up in the middle.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I think they're on the.
They'll find something.
Wrong side of it for now.
Like, people need to remember that when things go to the live servers, that doesn't mean it's permanent. That's just, like, it's wider testing. They can always, they completely took hover mode out of the game. They'll do things. So,
exactly.
If the glint doesn't work out, I think they can come up with other stuff. And there's probably other stuff that's going to make the glint not be as big a deal anyways in the future. I mean, are we not going to have...
They even said it.
Yeah. FPS scanning, like you said, smoke grenades,
tons of things,
shields, just things. So we'll see how it goes. That, I think, kind of wraps up our talk for today. I think we've gone long enough. It was a fantastic covering. Gosh, I could keep talking about these topics. I think we scratched the surface of 323. There's still a lot of other stuff going on there. We didn't talk a ton about engineering. We didn't even touch master modes because, you know, I think there's been enough of that. But
it's been beaten to death.
Yeah.
I want to say that your podcast with Yogi was awesome. And I think we needed that. I think the whole community needed that because it was a lot of content creators being angry. And like Avenger was not in like not doesn't hate it, but had his issues. And like everybody just got to sit there and hammer out their issues together, and it was beautiful. Yeah. I enjoyed that so much, and I think everybody is better for that podcast, so thank you for doing that. That was great.
That is, I mean, thanks to CIG for even considering that.
That's
still
awesome.
Blows my mind that they the people who are actually making these systems are willing to sit down and answer questions about it in front of a community like us.
Yep. Yeah.
We're a bit
loud. I've had the joy in my Twitch chat as well with guys like DJ and Zach and like a lot of the mission team that just they casually answer questions, and it's awesome, you know. And I think that stuff really clarifies a lot of things. Like, I just straight up asked Zach, "Would you get rid of Glint if we didn't like it?" And he said, "Yeah, I'm open to get rid of anything," you know. And it's like, but we're not going to just take feedback from random people that haven't truly had the opportunity to try it. Like, all the tests you're seeing are people testing it in these weird scenario, like non-gaming scenarios. Like, can I see the glint in these situations? How bad is it? Right.
Yeah.
And they're artificial and you're not playing the game yet. So maybe some big long arena commander matches, like sniper type matches in arena commander. And then that might be a cool way of balancing it.
Man, I'd love to play some Halo 3 style shoddy snipers and Star Citizen.
I was gonna say shoddy snipe matches, but yeah, I should have.
Arena Commander does sound like it's gonna be good fun as that kind of, you just want to jump in and hang out with some friends and like shoot some guns real quick. I'm excited to see where Arena Commander goes.
Yeah, so we hit both things. You mentioned Mass Effect and Halo today, so we're good. We can end the podcast now.
These are rules of the podcast. If I don't do that, I have to go and re-record. So I'm glad we made sure to hit that.
Me too. I need to eat tonight, you know? Like.
Yeah, yeah. All right, dude. On that note, I'm going to let you go. Please let everybody know, though, where they can find all your good stuff. I mean, I think everybody knows who you are, but, you know. For those people who are new here, where can they find your own content?
Sure. Pretty much Salty Mike everywhere. I don't have like Instagram or TikTok or anything, but on YouTube and Twitch, I stream every morning. Every morning but Monday. And yeah, just been posting YouTube videos. I want to do a lot more. I've always wanted to do a lot more with that. And yeah, just excited to start diving in, hopefully, to whatever features we do have in 323. And figuring out how all those work. Specifically, unfortunately, the one that we didn't get to talk a lot about today, which was reputation. That will be my focus. If I do get into 323, it's going to be all about reputation and see what's there. And actually probably like mining and salvage and see if they did any sneaky changes. But I haven't been able to
We still haven't gotten
just yet.
those mining missions, man. We were talking about those a year ago.
Yeah, they were coming along. I mean, what were they? They were talked about with the salvage missions, right?
Yeah,
I
think they were talked about together in the lead up to 319.
Wow. Yeah, that's a bummer.
I don't know what happened to those. Yeah. All right, bye then. No, I don't know what happened with those. I do hope that like they are sneakily being worked on, like you said. But I look forward to seeing what happens with Reputation and your videos on them, man. Your weeks in reviews. They're beautiful.
They've been great. They're getting good. Yeah. I hired an editor, so I don't look stupid anymore.
Your stuff was good before.
They look really nice. They're looking nice now.
Yeah, I like them, man. It's good news. It's a good way to keep up with the game. Keep it up. And thank you so much for joining me today. I will...
thank you for having me.
You know, see you around, man. We'll talk again.
Yeah.
And
message me anytime. I always say yes.
Yes.
I've been going for almost 12 hours now today.
Oh, my God. Yeah, okay. You need to get out of the seat. Folks, thank you so much for checking this podcast out. You might be watching this on YouTube, but it is ad-free on audio platforms if you'd like. And along with everybody else who's in the room with us right now, you can come and join us if you are a supporter of the channel. So YouTube, Twitch, wherever you may be, please hop on the Discord. Get in here for the live shows. You can hear the before and after tea that we have to say and some secret opinions. But besides that, folks, thank you so much for coming to this episode. Salty, thank you again for joining me for this one. And I will see you all next week.